Plus 49.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Plus 49. I'm your host, Malena, and I'm excited to have you with us as September draws to a close, bringing you major headlines and plenty of reasons to look at Germany's changing landscape. This week, we spotlight a turning point in Germany's migration story. For the first time since 2011, the number of refugees living in Germany has slightly decreased, dropping by about 50,000 in the first half of 2025. Meanwhile, policymakers are tightening rules to clamp down on welfare misuse, and German businesses are calling on the government to cut bureaucracy and attract much-needed talent. In the culture segment, we'll dive into Germany's rich Folkfest tradition. Because while Oktoberfest in Munich might be world famous, folk festivals of every size bring regional history and community spirit alive across the country, from Straubing to Bremen. And our interview conversation this week is with finance advisor Alejandro Wagner. We chat about navigating German banking, where to start your savings, and how he managed to bring a little piece of Mexico into German life. Finally, in Ask a German, we crack open the question, why don't Germans love a good after-work hangout with colleagues? So, let's jump right in. This week's news spotlight an important demographic shift. For the first time since 2011, the number of refugees living in Germany has slightly decreased. According to recent government data, the total fell by around 50,000 in the first half of 2025, from approximately 3,545 million at the end of 2024 to 3,495 million now. This dip results not only from increased deportations and voluntary departures, but also from more refugees gaining German citizenship. For example, over 83,000 former Syrian nationals were naturalized last year alone. However, about 492,000 people still live in Germany with uncertain status, including asylum seekers and those with tolerated residence. The number of refugees from Ukraine remains high, standing at nearly 1.27 million as of July 2025. Political voices caution against celebrating the decline, noting that global reasons for flight have not lessened and the tighter EU borders limit new arrivals. The left party describes the situation as illustrating the absurdity of claims of a migration crisis used to justify restrictive asylum laws. Meanwhile, the government is also addressing social welfare misuse. CDU's Carsten Linnemann called for tighter EU rules to prevent exploitation of Germany's social system, criticizing loopholes under current rules that allow minimal work combined with social benefit claims. On the labor market front, bureaucratic hurdles remain a major challenge for recruiting foreign skilled workers, as seen in Bremen's efforts to ease integration with dedicated welcome centers, providing one-stop advice on work, residence, and housing. Employers emphasize the need to streamline administration processes to attract and retain talent crucial for Germany's future growth. Lastly, the parliament is preparing to pass next year's budget, which includes significant borrowing to fund key areas like infrastructure and defense. The Bundestag debates will conclude by the end of November. That's it for your news roundup for this week. Germany is world famous for its Oktoberfest, the largest folk festival on the planet, drawing over 6 million people each year to Munich. But Oktoberfest is just one vibrant example in a rich tradition of folk festivals celebrated across the country. These lively events are more than just parties. They are century-old traditions deeply rooted in local culture and history. Volksfeste typically mark seasonal changes, religious holidays, or important local anniversaries. Many began as harvest festival or fairs linked to agriculture, trade, or church calendars. Over time, they have grown to include music, dancing, traditional costumes, carnival rides, and of course, plenty of regional food and beer. Beyond Munich's Oktoberfest, which started back in 1810 to celebrate a royal wedding, there are numerous other Volkfeste worth exploring. For example, the Gäubodenvolkfest in Straubing is Bavaria's second largest folk festival and offers a lively mix of parades, music, and hearty local cuisine. The Rosenheimer Herbstfest, also known as the Likeable Oktoberfest, blends tradition with a relaxed atmosphere. In Stuttgart, the Cannstatter Volksfest rivals Oktoberfest in popularity, with a three-week celebration featuring huge tents and thrilling rides. Northern Germany hosts its own favorites too. Bremen's historic Freimarkt brings festive crowds, carnival highlights, and regional specialities for over 1,000 years. Each region's festival reflects its unique history and character, making Germany's folk festival a mosaic of cultural expression. Volksfeste remain an important part of German identity because they foster community spirit and celebrate tradition amid modern life. They offer spaces for locals and visitors to connect, enjoy live music, savor local flavors, and honor shared heritage. Whether it's the grandeur of Oktoberfest or smaller local fests steeped in history, these celebrations continue to shape social life in Germany, proving that folk festivals are much more than just seasonal fun. They are living traditions that keep culture vibrant and alive.
So we're today with someone who has a very interesting t-shirt that says Amarte, which is in Spanish, love yourself. And this is Alejandro Wagner. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me here.
So what does Amarte mean?
Amarte means originally Alemania, Mexico, Arte. And that was a cultural project with the idea to bring art, basically my artist friends from Mexico to Germany. And that was when I inherited the boutique and art gallery from my mother 15 years ago. And I had somehow had to build a bridge. And they asked me, my friends, hey, why don't you take art over to Germany? We can sell it there. And said, I'm not an art gallerist. I'm a financial advisor. But they, you know, insisted. And we did a video. And, you know, we brought an artist here in 2015 to the Entrepreneurship Summit. Daniel Palma, and he builds kinetic sculptures, as sculptures that move. And I connected that with the topic of entrepreneurship, because I say that being an entrepreneur is being like an artist, right? You have to create something new. You come up with a business idea, and it's more an act of creation than with finance. No?
So you're in between worlds, not only Mexico and Germany, but also culture and economics.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How have you managed to do that? You're half Mexican, half German.
Well, I was born in Mexico, in Tlatelolco, Mexico City, in the heart of Mexico. And I was, I grew up in Ajijic, a small town in Mexico next to the Chapala Lake. That's where the gallery, the Mi Mexico is called, is. And that's where I grew up. And then with 18, I came to Germany. Basically, I just wanted to come here for 1 year and then go back. But then somehow I forgot to go back. But that shop connected me again with Mexico and basically forced me to go regularly there to take a look at the shop and everything, you know. I have employees there that take care, or did care about it, because I had to close it after 15 years. I had to close it in February on Valentine's Day because of force majeure, a roof issue we had there. And so that was an institution that kept me going there and going back there. And I have my friends there, you know. And somehow I had to learn to integrate it in my life. And being also fortunate that my job as a financial advisor, I can do it remotely. So now I'm living between England, Mexico, and Berlin.
Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, but, you know, it gets strenuous after a while.
How is it to bring things, specifically in your case, from Mexico to Europe and to Germany? Do the Germans like Mexican art? Are they interested in something that comes from far away?
Yeah, of course. You always try to, as an expat, you always try to connect with your home country, right? And you try to find a meaning of being Mexican and German as well, you know, and somehow to try to connect it to make sense, you know, and not have like a double life. And one of the logic things is to be an entrepreneur and see how you can make a business out of it. So you're not only serving your home country where you're right now, but also your country of origin, you know. And then you think, okay, what can be useful here that we have there and vice versa, you know. And I came up with the shoes that I sell in, or sold in Mi Mexico, the San Miguel shoes that are designed for Mexican couple stones of San Miguel de Allende, you know. The problem, you know, of women, yeah, they want comfortable shoes, but they want them in all kinds of colors and sizes and styles that yep. match with their dresses. But, you know, you cannot put sneakers on a vernissage or in a cocktail party in San Miguel de Allende, Mexico, no? Nine, you know? So you have the problem that they carry two pair of shoes, you know, the tennis shoes, the sneakers for the street, and then they put on the party the other shoes. No, so the idea is these San Miguel shoes, they're made for the cobblestones, but also with heels. So, and I brought them here as a case study to show Mexicans at the beginning how to start a business in Mexico. And that's how I connected financial advice with the shoes and with the shop. And and it was part also of a business idea competition with Professor Faltin. He's my mentor. A professor for entrepreneurship, and I presented there, and the idea is to beat Zalando by offering shoes that fit, you know, and that you don't have to send back.
That would be awesome. You were talking about not only your thought for and your passion for shoes and for Mexico, but also that you're a financial advisor and you do networkings on Fridays specifically. So tell us a little bit about financial advisors and, of course, your Fridays.
Yes, okay. So, yeah, I'm a financial advisor since 2001. You know, and I'm a broker. I'm a specialist for real estate and for bank accounts and insurances, and basically helping people to integrate into the financial system here in Germany as expats, and matching basically your life with finances, you know?
I still have no idea how to do that, to be honest.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, any like an art piece, it must have a structure. You need a base of certain insurances, you know?
You're being very German right now with the whole structure part. I still don't have any structure. I'm not that German. But you pointed out something very important here. It is not only about integrating yourself inside of the German culture, but also integrating your finances into your life,
And basically, I consider myself like a life designer, you know, with financial advice, you can design your life to encourage people to start with a side business, you know, and see where it goes and have an extra income maybe and grow personally and do what you're really here for in this life, you know. But it has also an impact on your finance. If you tell me, hey, you know what, I'm going to retire in Sri Lanka, well, then I'm going to tell you, well, have you thought about your health insurance there? Because by the time you retire, nobody wants you. So that kind of questions, you know. And and it's also of being an entrepreneur. So from showing how to import business shoes from Mexico, I did that in a networking event series that I had then. It was called Wissen, Kontakte, Chancen. And that was a recurrent thing, you know. Yeah, because the idea here is not only to integrate you financially in this country, because when you leave your home country, you leave also your business contacts, right? And then you don't know anybody here. So your success depends also on who you know. And that's why I combine them to really empower you guys.
What is the first thing, or I mean, of course, the main point of this is to invite everybody who's hearing to go to your events. But before that, give us a little bit of a taste of what are under your ideas or what can you recommend us? Once you arrive to Germany, what are kind of the first things that you should definitely take into consideration or maybe to avoid? I mean, I have to be super honest here. I was fairly new in Germany and I have this whole credit card thing that we also have in Mexico and we have in the United States. So I hired a credit card from Barclays and it has been giving me the worst pain ever. The money that I actually got from there, I think I've paid it like 5 times already and I cannot see that I can come out of it. But of course, you don't have credit cards in Germany the way that we in Mexico or people in America have.
Yeah.
So that's my first biggest faux pas that I did. But you probably have a lot of other recommendations.
Oh yes, of course I do have. You know how I use credit cards? You know, I have a separate credit card just for traveling, right? And I put every month, I put 250 euros on it and forget about it. And every time I book a flight, I always have money to fly to Mexico anytime.
That is a very good recommendation.
Absolutely. You don't go into minus, you know? And you have the budget, you have, you know, the peace of mind that... You budgeted your travels, you know, and you have money for that. And the same thing you should do, budget everything. Budget for your rental. Budget for, hey, for sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but also for insurances and savings, you know. And the first thing I would do is, besides getting a bank account here, probably two, or a debit card where you transfer that money, separate your fixed costs from your living costs. Because if you have only everything in one bank account, it's chaos. You see money there, it goes out. So you have and install short, middle, long-term saving plans. You should have some ETFs, some funds, but you should also get some basic insurance like your liability insurance. Otherwise, you don't get an apartment here in Germany. You know.
There are a lot of other things.
I recommend a travel insurance. Otherwise, you don't come back. Yeah, if something happens. And so there's some basic things. And then... Yeah, get to know people, you know, come to the first Fridays to meet people from diverse disciplines, industries, nations, get connected, get inspired.
Do you think it is still possible in this landscape to save?
Yes, always. Of course. Look, I think that most people live like zombies. They even don't know how much they spend. If I ask them, Atok, how much do you spend on groceries? People don't know. How much do you spend on this? Most people, not all, know how much they earn.
There are people that don't know how much they earn.
No, they don't.
I pray every time that I know. That, but I hope that I will be earning the same amount.
Yeah, but most people do. But most people don't know for what the money goes. I mean, it even applies to me. The other day I was doing like being more mindful and said, okay, I just realized that I'm spending 120 euros a month on Backwerk buying croissants. And I multiply that by 12 months. I say, well, that's a trip to Mexico.
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about my coffees. If I'm super honest about it, I've heard this so many times. Like, yeah, the coffees that you drink. But for me, to be honest, and this is for me, I'm single. I'm living alone in my house in Berlin. And to be honest, to go out to my same coffee shop and talk with people the first thing in the morning, it sort of gives me some sort of comfort mm-hmm. that at least someone is there that I can talk to. They know who I am. They even know my dog. They give my dog a little bit of cheese. You know, that has been my why am I giving this money away? Because it is kind of comfort food, 100%, but it's also... Yeah, like something that makes me feel at home, and especially in this place that, you know, sometimes you don't precisely feel at home. And I know that there are a lot of things that we might as well buy without really thinking about it. But in the case of coffee, and it would be okay or advisable that I do a budget for this. And I just say like, okay, this is the amount of money that I'm actually spending without getting crazy and then just keep doing it? Or would you advise to just keep the coffee away and drink it home?
I think the important thing is that you make a conscious decision. It's all about mindfulness, to being of awareness, you know, say, okay, but analyze, how much do you spend on this coffee without judging? It is important for you. You're supporting a local business. It's also important. You know, you're doing something for the kids and there's your family there. Make a budget for it. If it's 180 or 200 euros, then that's it. That's fine. And the thing is, what I recommend is to have two bank accounts, one with your fixed costs, right, and your income there, and where you transfer also a fixed budget for living expenses. And if there's something very special, like in my case, traveling, or in your case, a cafe, you know, you can have an extra debit card just for that. And then you know, okay, this is the one, you know.
That's a great recommendation.
Yeah, but important is that whatever salary you have, I mean, the average salary here in Germany is 4,300 brutto. That's about 3,000 net. Yeah. So let's say you spend 1,000 in rent. If it's not your property, yeah, also a thing. 1,000 euros on living expenses, from which maybe 400 is grocery and 200 is traveling and whatever. And the other 1,000 you save, short, mid, long term. And don't leave ever a position in zero. Otherwise, you have zero money, short, mid, or long term.
It is very complicated to talk about money. I think in general, like, it is a taboo. I do remember, I don't know if that is true just for Germany, but I do know that I've heard a lot of speculation that says that you in Germany cannot ask someone how much they owe.
Yeah, it's a taboo topic because, I don't know, people have their child issues there, I don't know, because they didn't get enough allowance or whatever, you know. And it was a taboo topic at home. Somehow nobody speaks about it. Nobody teaches that in school, how it should be. And therefore, I think that's important that what the Mexican government is doing, you know, with the Ventanilla de Asesoría Financiera, there are like monthly Zoom sessions with financial experts who then talk about finance. Like, as a matter of fact, tomorrow it's my turn. I will talk about finance for entrepreneurs, you know, in Spanish. And they can ask questions and stuff like that. And if they have further questions, they can contact me, whatever.
I think I need to be there tomorrow.
Yes, sure, yes.
If you see my... So before I go into... Do you have any suggestion regarding a budgeting app?
You know, the thing is, yeah... you can do that. If it works for you, there are people who are obsessed with Excel and they're like control. Yes, if that's for you, you can go that way. And you can use these budgeting apps. The important thing is that you budget. How you do it, you know, you can also take it old school on a piece of paper and do it. Or, you know, if you follow my advice, you know, if everything goes in automatic savings, automatic transfer of money to your debit and credit cards and other saving accounts, the only thing that you have to remember is the PIN of your debit card for sex, drugs, and rock and roll, for your Lebenshaltung. Yeah? Everything goes in automatic. Make it a habit. It's a lot of psychology. And then, you know, you feel better when you see that you're getting anywhere. You know, oh, okay, your first 10,000, your first 100,000. But you have to start somewhere, yeah.
It feels like it will never happen to me. But that is another thing. I will introduce right now Marlene. Marlene, do you have any question as someone who is in her 20s? Definitely a little bit younger than myself. And I've already done so much weird things that I don't know how to fix it. But maybe you can.
I like the challenge though.
So I guess my main question is always with this whole saving topic is where to start with ETFs and everything like that, because in school this is a topic that is not talked about, and I even had economics for like 2 years, but it's not really talked about, and it's just from an outside perspective it seems so overwhelming, and I just don't know how and where to start. So do you have any tips on that?
Yes, absolutely. First, I would get a start with something simple after your bank accounts. Start with having a financial reserve. Okay, you should have that at least 2-3 salaries, months, expenses, you know, something secure and accessible. You know, take a Tagesgeldkonto. But you have to beat the inflation on the long haul. And you can do that with ETFs. The thing is here that you diversify. I'm not giving you right now a financial advice, but you can ask me and I can help you select them. ETFs that invest worldwide in technology, in the big companies, you know. Diversify, you know. And be aware of the ups and downs. But hey, the losses of today are the gains of tomorrow, I say, you know. And if you go on the long haul, I mean, these things have done 6, 7, 8, 10% every year. And if you take the time, the compound effect for 30 years, if you invest 500 euros a month for 30 years, you will get more than 500,000 euros there. If you have 6% every month. If you start 1 year later, you only would have invested 6,000 euros less, but you would have missed 30,000 euros in gains. And then for the same for the pension. But here my advice for somebody who is young and hopefully healthy, I would ensure first your biometrical risks, your health, yeah, your workforce, Berufsunfähigkeit, we call it here. And you install a pension plan that in case that you're not able to work on the long haul, that the insurance company keeps investing in those ETFs, because you would not contribute anything to the gesetzliche Rentenversicherung, to the pension plan, you will not be able to save. So you need to replace that income. So that's my first advice. And the earlier you do that, the cheaper it is. And start with ETFs. And then in 10 years, you buy the first property. You can come to me. You can buy micro apartments, 40 square meters. They pay from themselves. You get money back from the taxes. And the tenant is paying the loan. And then you keep on doing that. And then when that's paid off, you can take money out of that property and buy something in Mexico if you want to.
And then you can go to have a nice winter vacation in Mexico.
For instance, yeah.
Alejandro, thank you so much for this. How can we contact you?
If you Google me, Alejandro Wagner, Alejandro like Lady Gaga, Wagner like the composer.
I've been having that song in my head ever since I said that we were going to interview you. I'm like, Alejandro, thinking that.
Yeah, Alejandro Wagner, MLP. Then you find me on LinkedIn and Facebook, but also on my website there, where you can set an appointment. You can choose an appointment. It's free. Yeah, I take my time to listen to your story and can tell you how I work, or invite you to the first Fridays, every first Friday of the month. You can reach me there.
Perfect. Thank you so, so much. And we'll take definitely those recommendations into action.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Clause 49. Ask a German.
Why you don't make friends with your colleagues at work? Because after Feierabend, nobody wants to see you.
One question many newcomers and even locals ask is, why don't Germans seem to enjoy going out with their colleagues after work? The answer lies deeply embedded in German work culture and social norms, which place a strong value on clear boundaries between professional and personal life. In Germany, the concept of Feierabend is fundamental. This term describes the end of the workday, the moment when employees switch off from their job and move fully into personal time. Feierabend is a sacred zone, time for family, hobbies, relaxation, or social activities separate from work. After-clock hours are considered private and highly respected, meaning people generally avoid bringing work topics and stress into their personal lives. For many Germans, going out with colleagues after work can feel like blurring that line. Having spent the entire day together at the office, they often want to recharge their social energy in a different setting, preferably with friends and family, rather than workmates. There's sometimes a concern that after-work gatherings might turn into informal meetings, where discussions about projects, deadlines, or office politics continue outside work hours without getting paid. That said, after-work socializing is not unheard of. Casual get-togethers like a Feierabend beer, after-work beer, at a local pub, or a quick coffee with colleagues are common, especially on Fridays or after big team milestones. Though these moments might be small and low-key, they are valued ways to bond without overwhelming evening plans. Another factor is how Germany generally approaches relationships. Friendships and social circles tend to develop outside work settings, in hobbies, clubs, or well-established community groups. Many people prefer to keep their work personas and private lives distinct, which means they might not see work colleagues as potential close friends. Cultural emphasis on efficiency and punctuality also plays a role. Long, drawn-out social events might seem indulgent or inefficient after a structured day focused on productivity. In summary, Germans love clear, respectful boundaries between work and personal life. While they do enjoy socializing with colleagues sometimes, they often prefer to keep their evenings for themselves and loved ones. Understanding this cultural mindset helps explain why after-work hangouts are less common and why they aren't necessarily seen as a sign of poor work environment. That wraps up another episode of Plus 49. Thank you so much for joining us as we explored migration trends, folk festival culture, and Alejandro's journey from Mexico to Germany. If you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, or share your favorite episode with friends. It really helps us reach new listeners. Got questions or a topic you'd love to hear more about? Drop us a line. We always love hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week for more stories, insights, and another fun round of Ask a German. Until then, enjoy these last few September days and go out while it's still warm. Goodbye!